give it out to everybody. Yeah, for those who can read straight.
Pamachas. Hayisi mahalach mimokim lemokim. Eliyahu Novi is saying this. Eliyahu Novi, this is from taken from the Tana de Eliyahu. And Eliyahu is saying, Pamachas. Once a time, hayisi mahalach mimokim lemokim. I was going from place to place. Umutsoni adam echod. And he found a person, shlehoyer boy loy mikra v'loy mishnah. He didn't have loy mikra v'loy mishnah. He didn't have a gemara. He didn't know gemara. He didn't know any mishnayis. V'hoyer mitzleitzit umaleg bedvorim. And he was making the tzonos. He was making the tzonos. Have your novi look like psachosh v'yid? Eliyahu Novi looked like a choshev yid, and he was making the tzonos of him. He probably looked too yeshivish. Ubo kenegdi, and he came against me. V'amati loy, and I said to him, "This is Eliyahu Novi speaking. Bini, my son, ma ata meshiv lavicha shebashamayim layom hadin. What are you going to answer your father in Shemaim on Yom Hadin? You're an amoritz. You can't learn." You don't want to learn. You're making the tzonos b'chlal of everything that has any shaykhus to Yiddishkeit. What are you going to answer Yom HaDin? V'amali, and he said to me, he gave me the real attitude. Yesh li dvam shani meshivoy. I can answer him. I can tell him. Bino v'deo. Bino. Chochma bino v'das. Bino is understanding. Deo is seichel. You call it common sense, which is not so common today, but day means a brain. The Ribbono Shel didn't give me a brain that I can be able to sit down and learn. And I said to him, Bini, what exactly is your job? What are you doing? I'm a hunter. Bini, mili medcho. Who taught you? You bring flax and you weave it. You make nets and you throw it into the water. And this way you'll catch the fish. And he said, Rebbe, this they gave me seichel. This I can do. This I have enough seichel for. I can work like a Schwarzer for 2 months in the summer. I can take an EMT course, no problem. But there not only been over them in Hashemayim. V'amatilo, and I said to him, Uma lahavi pishton v'le'er reg mitzudois, u'lahashlich layom. And if already the Ribbono Shel Olam gave you pishton v'le'er reg mitzudois, you can make nets. U'lahashlich layom, u'lahalish dogin to bring up fish. Nosnul chab bina deva min hashemayin. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave you enough seichel. Ula divrei Torah and to divrei Torah shekosubo ki kara veilecho adava ma'oid. That's very close to you. Beficha or bilvavcha laseisa. Le nosnul chab bina v'deva min hashemayin. The Ribbono Shel Olam didn't give any seichel for that. For everything else, he got seichel. To become a lawyer, to become a CPA, to become whatever you want, you got seichel. Aber bin aber der in Hashemayim, that they didn't give you for Torah. Miyad hayomerim koyle uboicho misanech. He lifted up his voice and he started crying and wailing. Well, the first kasha is over here is, what did you start crying for? When was the last time somebody showed you in your face, what are you going to answer in Hashemayim when you suddenly started crying? When the guy turns around and tells you, you have seichel to do this, but you don't have seichel to do that, you suddenly realize that you suddenly sit down and cry. What happened to this guy? What, suddenly? What woke him up? That's one shayla. V'amati l'bni, al yer l'cha. Don't feel so bad. Ala kol sha'a b'nei adam b'ya eilam, hei mishivin tshuva zu. Aloi se'inan shen v'iskin b'y. The whole world does says the same thing. You're in the same boat as everybody else. Because they all give the same answer to exactly what they're doing. Whatever the guy's doing, whatever the guy did for the last 50, 60, 70 years, whatever kind of loser he was for the last 70 years, he's coming upstairs and he's going to give an answer. The Rebbeinu Shlom gave me seichel for whatever I was matzliach, and for whatever I wasn't matzliach, I wasn't. But the problem is, avo maseim rechichem aleim. The Rebbeinu Shlom doesn't have to do anything. All the Rebbeinu Shlom turns around and says, there's din v'cheshbon. Din v'cheshbon according to the Goyin. One of the pshatim is, din v'cheshbon means, there's din on what you did wrong, but there's also a cheshbon, that if you had enough seichel to go and do what you're doing today, then maseim rechichem, your maise shows you that faket, if you had enough seichel for this, where was your seichel for something else? V'aleim al kiyotze behem. I asked all phones, cell phones, iPods, whatever you have to be turned off totally. Avo maseim rechichem aleim, v'aleim al kiyotze behem, v'alo oisim kemaseim, u'boishe ovde pishtim. They'll be embarrassed. So here we have a shayla. We have a moedika maisel, yanov, he meets somebody in Be'etzim. This story hits us the whole time. We all turn around and we say we don't have cheshek, we don't want to do it, we don't have the brains for it. And here Aliyah Novi turns around to a guy and tells him straight in the face, you have seichel for this, for that the Rebbeinu Shlom gave you seichel, and for Torah he didn't. And itchel lifkos, his chalifkos is not going to happen to us. His chalifkos, I would say, would start happening in what we call midlife crisis. His chalifkos. Well, midlife crisis, what? A lot of people you see out there, they hit the 40s and the 50s, they suddenly get this midlife crisis. Miyad his chalkoilo boichom is ane. Starts crying. What have I been doing for the last 40 years, 50 years? I have the brains for this. I'm going to come upstairs. I've got already 1 foot in the kever. How many years do I have left? But us Bochrim, we've got plenty time. Rebbeinu Shlom, I'll be giving stock, don't worry about it. I'll buy you off, you know. We have a different religion. We will make panosa and we'll support the Bnei Torah. And it's interesting, he doesn't say that the Rebbeinu Shlom says, Maseyim Mechichim Aleim means that what they're doing is Mechiach, is a raya, that what they were doing till now is all a mistake. What happened to all their mitzvahs? There's a Meridika Gemara in Shabbos. We'll come back to this Tana de Belial soon. There's a Meridika Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara says, Omar Rava, Derochim Rabbonon, one who loves Tamid HaChomim, loves Torah, Havale Bonin Rabbonon, he'll be Zeicha to have children who are Tamid HaChomim. The Moiki Rabbonon, one who has covered for Tamidei Chachamim, Havalechen v'sid Rabbonon, he'll have son-in-laws who are Tamidei Chachamim. The Dochel Mirabbonon, somebody who fears Tamidei Chachamim, Hu Gufa Havetzuvu Mirabbonon, he himself will become a Talmud Chacham. V'ilav Bar Hochi, hear the Loshna Gemara, V'ilav Bar Hochi, and if he can't, then his words will be accepted as if he would be a Talmud Chacham. Okay. Right, the Gemara says we love Bar Hochi if he's not somebody that can become a Talmud Chacham. So how would you type up Pshat? You'd say he doesn't have the brains for it. Rashi says something else. We love Bar Hochi. Why is he not a Talmud Chacham? We love Bar Hochi. She'ena rogil la'asek batayr. Because he's not used to sitting and learning. That's what Rashi says. Love Bar Hochi means not because he can't, not because he doesn't have the brains for, not because he got cut out for it. Lav bar hochi, ein rogel. He's a guy that's not used to learning. Nothing more, nothing less. The only reason why he's not a Talmud Chacham is because he never learned. We all walk around thinking, when it comes to Nisyanus, each one of you, if I'd ask you, a Shaila, what's our biggest Nisyan? So most people turn on Taiva, today, the internet, don't even have to explain. Chazal learned up differently what the Nisoyin is, our biggest Nisoyin. The story in the Torah tells us that B'shas, V'asafsuf, Klal Yisrael came to complain, his Avu Taiva. They had a Taiva in Klal Yisrael. V'yeshva Yivku Gram B'nei Yisrael, Klal Yisrael started crying, Mi Yachileinu Boso, who's going to give us food? We need some KFC chicken wings. That's what we need. We need some good flesh, mamash gesunte flesh, gebrotna from fire. That's what we need. Miachilena boso. And then he comes along, Vayishma Moisha, and he hears Klal Yisrael crying over shtickle flesh. He got all upset and he turns around to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ribbono Shel Olam, I don't have any koyach for this. V'lom olam otzosi chen beinecho, losum es amasa hakol ha'omaze olai. Why didn't you have, if I found favor in your eyes, why did you put such an oil on me? I can't deal with this. I can't take this. It's not for me. I don't have the kreichos for it. Le'uchel levadi eser eschem. I can't take it myself. I've got to have help. Moshe Rabbeinu comes along and says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I can't. Says the Ribbono Shel Olam, no problem. I'm going to help you. I'm going to get you 70 zakenim. 70s Canaan, who are going to become part of this big Bezdin that will help you to run Klal Yisrael. But let me tell you something. I'm not going to give them the koichas to fear Klal Yisrael. The koichas that the 70s Canaan are going to come from you. The Ramban explains the Hoshpshat. Ramban explains with a Moridika Moshul. This is a Hafladika Moshul. A Melech comes along and hands over an orchard to his Eved to look after it. The Eved comes along and he says, I'll pay you $100. The Eved comes along after a few weeks and says, I can't do it myself, I need help. Oh, you need help? Says the king, no problem. I gave it to you for $100 and I held that you can do it yourself. Hey, yes, you come along and say that you can't do it. But say that no problem, I'll bring you in more shomrim. But the wages are coming out of your $100. Kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned on to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, Moshe Rabbeinu, I gave you koichas to run Klal Yisrael. You come along and tell me that I can't. No problem. The koichas that I'm going to give to the Shivim Zakenim are coming from you. Otsalti mimcha, says the Torah. They're going to come from you. Your koichas is going to be mechulek between 70. Pelav Otsum. What's the Ribbono Shel Olam want to say over here? What's the Ribbono Shel Olam coming along and saying? Moshe Rabbeinu, you made a mistake. I told you, and I appointed you as Moshe Rabbeinu from Klal Yisrael, and I told you to go and lead Klal Yisrael. If I told you to go and lead Klal Yisrael, it means that you have the koichas. You're coming along and saying, you don't have the koichas. No problem. I'm telling you, you do. It's coming out of your wage packets. Haslo a fella. Moshe Rabbeinu, God Lado. He was the Messiah of Torah. He didn't realize that he had the keichas to run Klal Yisrael himself. He complained to the Ribbono Shelolam. Weiss the chais, that even Moshe Rabbeinu and this Nisoyin, call it a Nisoyin, call it whatever you want, but the Nisoyin of turning around and saying, I can't, even he didn't understand what his keichas are. L'chora, if you're asking me, what's the biggest Nisoyin in a person's life? Not his tairvus, not his kinah, not his kavod, garnished. One thing. He doesn't understand the koichas that he entails. He doesn't understand his own personal koichas, what he can become. Like the Biruchim's famous vort. It's an avera not to know your chisreinus. But it's a bigger avera not to know your milus. And the chora from here, you would learn out that the biggest hest upon him, what's hidden from us, what we don't understand, even from Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't even have his koichas. If the Baruch Shalom gave him to Klal Yisrael, then Pshat is, you have the koichas to do it yourself. You don't want to do it? No problem. You'll share it with somebody else. But it's not coming out of my pocket, it's coming out of your pocket. The biggest nisoyin that we have going through life is not being makir, not recognizing what our koichas are, who we are, what we could do. If we're pushed against the wall, how much can we come out with? Each guy can make his own cheshbon ha-nefesh. For the dollar, we'll go the extra mile. And that's what he means. The Rebbein Shalom is going to turn around and tell us, Maseim, your maisa for the dollar. For the extra dollar, you woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning. For the extra dollar, you were willing to work till 10 o'clock at night. For the extra dollar, there's no such thing as jet lag or not feeling well. And if I've got a test in 3 days' time, there's no such thing as sitting around drinking, getting drunk. And if there's a mishpat in 3 nights' time, and I'm sitting around like a goy, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam turns and says, for that you have koyach. My same mechichim means I'll show you, for the dollar you'll go the extra mile. For the dollar suddenly I can learn 3 hours on Friday. Suddenly Friday morning becomes easy to wake up. That's pshat my same mechichim. Pshat is you do have the koyachas. You don't want to, no problem. But don't come along and start crying to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, I didn't have the koichas, I didn't have the cheshek, I didn't have it. I don't have what it makes to become a Ben Torah. Masei Mechichim means the Rebbeinu Shel Olam turns around and shows you right in your face that you can't do it when you want to. The best muscle that I can prove to you, and some of you perhaps have heard this muscle before, I always talk on the rebellion on Zayda's Yahrzeit, which was last Monday night. Normally I speak on the night of his Yahrzeit. And I say over his life story that perhaps to us, a godel who was only nifta 40 years ago, a godel who lived within our generation, a godel that most people over 50, 60 today remember him, heard him speak, got brachas from him, and his name is not a household that doesn't have the classic svarim of Lev Eliyahu. A person who was zeicha at the young age of 30, 35, according to my cheshbon, to Gili Eliyahu, that when he went to the Sfas Emes for a bracha, the Sfas Emes says, younger man, a younger man that was zeicha to have Gili Eliyahu doesn't need a bracha from me. And my Zayda turned around and says, a Rebbe that knows I had Gili Eliyahu is the one to give me a bracha. But this is what we're talking about. We're talking about a man who, by the Levayer of Chaim Shmulevitz, stood up and said, Ich dank Rebella, I thank Rebella for saving my life. And I remember hearing the tape and I asked my father, what's pshat? My father said that when Chaim was sick, He was shy whether he was going to speak or not. And they went to Rebellia for a bracha. And Rebellia says, what's Reb Chaim without saying shmuzen, without saying shiurim? And this is before Reb Chaim started saying shmuzen. And my father said to me that his father, Reb Fol Shmulevitz, Reb Chaim's father, who was a son-in-law by the altar from Nevada, came to him in a cholam and told him that the reason why he got better was because of Schus Rebellia's tefillas. Mukubalim said, Malachim Maila, am gezittert, trembled from rebellious tefillas. You're talking about a man that lived within our generation, and if you'd read the Art Scroll book, you'd get the impression that he was born a godel, like every other godel that they talk about. But let me explain to you where Rebellia came from. He came from finer parents, Elochiyidin to the point that his mother, I don't know if you know, there's such a halacha called Yichud. I don't know if anybody knows the halachas of Yichud, but there is a halacha in the Torah called Yichud. And Rebellia's mother was walking from one town to another, and they used to go through a forest. And then there was a rainstorm. The rainstorms in Europe come down, you know, like in the mountains, they come down for 10 minutes and you've got to look for somewhere to go to hide. So she went under a tree. And as she went under the tree, there was a goy that was walking by and walked over to stand next to her in order not to get wet. And she held, it was a shail of yichud, so she carried on walking in the rain. As she walked away, lightning hit the tree and the tree went down with the goy. So we're talking about Elochiyidin. How many years ago? One generation back. They decided in the 1860s to go to America. And I think it was 1860, 1870, they decided, you know, born in the USA is the place to go, so they went to Chicago. And they moved to Chicago. And they took the whole family with them. But there was a kid. Rebellia was then 9 to 10 years old. But Rebellia said on himself he was Moshe Nefesh for Torah. Rebellia ran away from the house a day before they left. In order not to have the nisayon of saying goodbye to his parents, he ran away from the house because he didn't want to go to America with his parents. He held if he goes to America with his parents, he'll be lost. His brothers who went to America, I mean, there's nothing left of them. And Rebellia was left in Griver, that's where he lived, Holland, Litta. And the day after they left, he came back to the house and he found a letter with a ticket and some money. He tore up the ticket straight away. They shouldn't have the nisayon of going. And that money lasted him not too long. And his father didn't send him money in order to put pressure on him that he should come to America. There was no borrowing money in those days. There was no plastic in those days. In those days, if you didn't have the few pennies on you, you starved. Rebellia said that he went as a child, a young kid, he walked from town to Lomja to learn in the yeshiva Ketana. He bound his feet in shmatas because he didn't have shoes. He said as a child he was Moshe Nefesh for Torah. His father went to America, Grady Rebellia the first time went to America in 1955. He was then a yid of 75, 80. He went to his parents, Keva, the first time. He went to ask them Mechila, because he says, even though I was right, but they still had Sa, so he went to his parents to ask them Mechila in Chicago, that's where they're buried. But the Metzia says Rebellia was left on his own. He left on his own. No parents, no father, no mother, no uncle. Gone it. He was Moshe Nefesh, Tog, and Rebellia wasn't, I don't know if he had a special head, average head, He had one thing, he had a tremendous rotzen and a tremendous concentration. As a young man, he did Tshuvas Hakana, which is a six-year program of how to do Emes Tshuva. One of those 6 years is that you have to have a Tanis Dibur a whole year. Besides the fasting that Rebellia was makbid till he was about 85, 90, that he fasted every Monday and Thursday. And my father wrote to him a letter when he was about 80, 85, that he should stop fasting. And Rebellia wrote back a letter explaining that David HaMelech killed his Yetzer Hara through fasting. And Rebellia was then, he did the Tanis Dibur, besides the Tanis Dibur that he always had during El, from Rosh Chodesh El to Motzei Yom Kippur, Rebellia didn't speak anything except Torah. And Rebellia, as a younger man, he got married. His father-in-law didn't want to do the Shidduch because he held as a chisson. His parents went to America, so there must be something wrong with his parents. So his father-in-law, Rav Yitzchak David Rochman, was a Zeh Choshev Yid. He went into Reb Chaim Leib Stavitzker. Reb Chaim Leib Stavitzker was from the Gedolei Yisrael, who was a Murdik and Makubal and Ish Kaddish. And as he walked in, Reb Chaim Leib said, Mazel Tov. So he knew straight away that this is the Shidduch. Agav Ocher got known to me that Rebellia, as a 9-year-old kid, went to Reb Chaim Leib Stavitzker to ask him if he has to go with his parents to America. And Reb Chaim Leib said, no, you don't have to go. On this one, you don't have to listen to your parents. For Torah, you don't have to. And that's where he got the keichas to fight it. Anyway, Rebellia got married, lived in Kelm, he had a yeshiva ketana. He ended up going through England. And Sof Yomov, he came to Eretz Yisrael when he was 75. He started a whole new life in Eretz Yisrael of 20 years of saying shmuzen till he was about 95, 96. He was still saying shmuzen. In the yeshiva, he ran the yeshiva. He used to wake up bochrim. He used to go around with his talis and tefillin. And he used to wake up the bochrim with his tzitzis. And they once asked somebody who went off, took a left turn in life. And they met him years later and they asked him if he remembers Rebellia. So he said, don't remind him of Rebellia. He says, I hear Rebellia still talking in my ears. I haven't had a proper hanor from the Aveira. He says, I still can't have a proper hanor from the Aveira because his tzitzis are still tickling me in my ears. He says, I can't have a proper hanor from the Aveira. Rebellia was a Kodesh, the Tohi. Bochrim, he was a very warm person, but Mitzad Sheni Bochrim felt, you know, he looked right through you. He knew exactly what everybody's up to. He was a Kaddish with toy, a goin in learning. He was Moshe Nefesh. And Rebellia was Zeicha. Unbelievable, he was Zeicha. Lev Eliyahu is a classic. In the last 40 years, I don't think it's probably been printed 100,000, 200,000. Talmidim in Kelm, in England, Europe, at Yisrael. In fact, Rebbein Kotler in America has a stickle schuss of Rebellia, because Rebellia, when he was going around saying drosha, Rebellia was a Welt Redner. He was a tremendous orator. When he spoke, he could speak for 3 hours straight and nobody moved. And Rebellia went around some towns to be mechazik after the First World War. He went to all the towns where the people didn't have panosa and everybody was in sorrows. And he met, it was before the First World War, and he met a kid there who was a Luisha kid, his name was Aaron Slavitzer, who was later to be Rebbein Kotler, and Rebbein Chapt. And Rebellia Chapt that there's something special about this kid. And his mishpocha, Rebbein's mishpocha, wanted him to go to university. He had a sister that was a shtickle, a maskila, and she was pushing for him to go to university because he was a brilliant and in mathematician. And Rebellia schlepped him to Kiln. And Rebellious, and Rebellion, before he was nifter, he was lying in bed in the hospital, and Menachem Porush then, who was running Chinuch Atzmoy and Aguda, came to America, and he visited Rebellion, and he asked Rebellion, and Rebellion asked him, what are you doing for Chinuch Atzmoy? Rebellion said, so Menachem Porush said to him,
that I made a big asif in Yerushalayim, and rebellious folk. And as soon as he hit Rabban lying in his deathbed, said, "Rebellion," and he started crying. He said, "Where would I be today without rebellion?" So a schus from American Yiddishkeit, what Rabban did in America, I don't have to explain to you. Even the haters of Lakewood agree that Torah in America is Rabban. Perhaps it's not what Rabban wanted Lakewood to look like, but Torah in America is Rabban. And the schus of his children, most of his children were Mabitze Torah, Einiklach or Einiklach, 60% of his Einiklach or Mabitze Torah across the world. This is rebellion. This is the 9-year-old kid that made a decision to stay in Lithuania. Now let's turn the tables around. Let's take rebellion went to America. 9-year-old kid, his father's moving to America, great. We're going to be able to live like mentioned, we won't have pogroms. We'll have money. We'll come to America. There's gold on the streets. The dream of everybody. And he goes to America. And Rebelli goes to move to Chicago. And of course, there's no Yiddish schools there, but he probably goes to some day school. Goyshe day school, Yiddish day school, it was all the same in those days. And by night, he probably went to Sunday afternoon classes or evening classes with the rabbi. But he was an Elach Yid. His father was an Elach Yid, and he was an Elach Yid. By 15, 16, he was probably already working, going to work to make Panosa, because in God we trust is written on the dollar. That's how far it goes. And rebellion, Mr. Lopian opens up. This moshel I heard from Ramatis Yo, Solomon Rebellion's Yotzeit, probably going back 30 years ago, he spoke about Elia's candy store. He says, "Mr. Lopian in Chicago, nice young boy, opens up a candy store." And he calls it Elia's candy store. And he's very matzliach. It becomes a big store. And gets married. And he's a choshev yid. He might be a shtickel am haaretz. In those days they didn't have an art scroll or anything. But he was Shomer Shabbos, never missed a davening, never spoke during davening, was Mechaber Tamid HaChachamim, Kashrus, as much as it was Shayach, he kept. In those days, when Rebelli came to America in the 1950s, he met his sister he hadn't seen for 40, 50 years, and she said that meat they never ate. They never touched meat. That was that generation. The next generation we're not going to get to yet. And Rebellion became Choshva Balabos. That when the Gedolim came to America in the 30s, in the 20s, there was only one house you could stay in Chicago. It was Mr. Lopian. And they knew he was Makpid Kala Kachamura. His wife, even Pachos Ayesha, covered her hair, which was a Chiddush in those days. Today it's also becoming a chiddush. That they cover their hair is not called covered, but now's not the time to talk about it. We're not going to be mekatrig on Klal Yisrael. And he goes through life. He was gabbai in the shul. His wife was head of the sisterhood of the shul. And he was on every organization, of stock organization, that there was in those days in Chicago. Kala Kechamura. And he had a tremendous name as a balstocker. And he lived to the right old age of 96, 97. Belia Be'erich was about 96 when he was nifta. He was fully there,
probably till the last day.
And he dies. And they make a big levaya in Chicago of Mr. Lopian. And there's a massive article in the Jewish Observer, a true balabos. True balabos. Right. You see these articles sometimes that these papers exactly know who's the true balabos and who's the true ben Torah and who's the true gadol. And this writer understood that Klapei Shemaya, he was a true balabos. And he gets a send-off like a gadol. 96 years, he was Moshe Nefesh. His kids, Nebuch, he didn't make it. None of his kids were frum. He tried his best, but what could he do? Came to the Levaya, his kids just about were able to say Yiskaral v'Yiskadash, they were just about could say it. Nebuch, but he himself was an Alech Yid. His kids, that was America in those days, they went to college, money, they lost it. Be happy that they didn't marry out. Be happy that they didn't marry out. The next generation, Bechlal, is lost totally. We try to once to look into the Mishpocha to find cousins, second cousins, third cousins. Yichweis halva goyim. He comes upstairs. He expects a red carpet. Comes upstairs, comes to Din Shemayim, comes upstairs. And he expects all doors open up for him. He was a Baal Stocker. He never spoke during davening. He was Kala Kachamura. He was from the Asara Rishonim all his life. Asara Rishonim means the first 10 people that come to daven. And Kovei Itim Natoira. He wasn't his fault, call it. He didn't mess up on his kids, but those were the times in America. That could be, you know, what we call an X on his resume upstairs. And then they pull down this video and he sees a guy over there, 90 years old, long white beard, speaking to thousands of people, being ma'or the tzibur to tshuva. And he sees svarim called Lev Eliyahu being sold by the thousands, hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people who were makurav to Torah through him. And he's looking, watching this video, this whole video, Kodesh, Mutoi, Tzadik. And he says, who is this? And they said, this is who you were supposed to be. He says, what do you want? Me? In America? In the 1870s? In the 1880s? I should have turned out this way? Where exactly was I supposed to learn Torah? Or become the gadol that you show me on the video. And they said, you had a choice. You were 9 years old. 9 years old, you could have made a decision. You could have gone, stayed in Europe. Your parents went to America. You could have stayed. And you'd have been rebellious option. You didn't, you had a choice. You took a choice to take the left. No problem. This is who you are. This is not what you were supposed to be. You did a lot of mitzvahs. But you won't put down on this wall to do mitzvahs and to run your life like a true Christian of giving stock and buying off the Ribbono Shel Olam with your few mitzvahs. You were supposed to become the God of the Yisrael, the Kodesh V'Tohoi. And the Rebbe says, I don't get it. I was 9 years old. What do you want from me? No, you could have made a decision. You could have stayed in Europe. And this is what you would have been. Instead of making a right, they told him, make a left, baby. Take a left. It's a bit hot down the road, down there, but, you know, you'll get used to it. There's a lot to burn. What do you mean? I'm making a left? I should be making a right. Look what I've got to show for myself. Look at my resume. Very nice. But that's not who you were supposed to be. Baruch Hashem. Maaseichem, the maaseh of rebellion, he came upstairs and the video that they showed him and who he was with us are saying. But let's take it in real life. How many of us make a decision that affects thousands and thousands of Yidden. You're talking about if rebellion wouldn't have made that decision, Torah and England would have gone down the drain. Because when rebellion came to England before the war, all his kids took jobs in yeshivas that later became the main Torah centers of Europe. So you're talking about Europe. You're talking about America. You're talking about Eretz Yisrael. You're talking about before the war. Thousands and thousands. How much Torah came out of one man, one child's decision of 9 years old to stay? How many times are we going to have that decision? Okay, in those days, 9 years old, we can compare it to 17, 18 of today. Stood up against his parents. There was no gemachim in those days. There was no credit cards. There was nothing. You're on your own. There's not even picking up a phone and speaking. Forget about being homesick. There is no home to be sick of. And here is the decision. How many times do we have in our personal life that decision to make? How many of us are going to come upstairs? Forget what you just did. Proves to me that you could do it. You didn't want to, no problem. You had a choice. Remember when you were 17, you were 18, you were 19, you didn't have a good zman, you didn't really make it, you didn't have much cheshik to learn, you could have, you'd wanted to, you didn't want to. You know what? Forget it. I'm not cut out for it. It's not for me. What does the Gemara say? V'ilav bar hochi. Shayna rogi lulmo Torah. There's no such thing as you can't make it. I'm not interested. Ain't a rogi lulmo Torah. It doesn't interest me. I'm not used to learning Torah. No problem. But what are you going to say upstairs when they show you this video? What you could have been, but because of some stupid ben azmanim, because of some stupid medulla, because of some stupid joint, your decision to become who you could be and what you're supposed to be went out the window. And you're not making a decision for yourself. You're making a decision on who you're going to marry, what your kids are going to look like, what your 8 o'clock are going to look like. That we stand here tonight is a schus of a 9-year-old kid 100 years ago. And it's going to schusoy. And the Baruch Hashem gives it to his schus. And every year on his yortzeit when they're done, how much more Torah came into the world from this neshama, he gets a schus. Are we going to give everything up just for the dollar? Just for the Porsche? Because I've got to walk around looking cool? This is what we're going to give up? Everything? And when it packer stops turning you on? When you suddenly realize that? When you see the end as a matiloy? And I said to him, Elianov, he says, I showed you the truth. And when the truth hits you in the face, and you're mature enough to understand the truth. Miyad Beicha. It's not going to happen to us. It'll hit you. Miyad Beicha might hit you when you're 60. But there will become a time in life where you will turn around and say, I had Seichel. I had the Rotson. I had guts. I had a backbone. Look where I am holding today. Look who I am. I couldn't have done this in learning. I couldn't have shown the Rebbeinu Shlomo what my koyches are. Ve'im yishivim, everybody answers this. Avo maseim echichim aleim. Rebbeinu Shlomo doesn't have to show you anything. Just shows you the video. Shows you what you did. You could get up at 6 o'clock for the dollar. Okay, Torah's not as choshev, davening's not as choshev, Zman Krishma means nothing. Kabbalah Yom Malchus Shemaim, big deal. So I missed it today. But for 50 bucks, you wouldn't miss. That's all. Okay, that's what's chashuv by you. Say this. Says the Baruch Shalom, no problem. But when you're going to come, when the emes hits you in the face, you're talking about an Amoritz who was misloitzet umalik b'dvarim. He was making latzonos of him. He's a man who had attitude, what we call. Couldn't stand the way Eliyahu HaNavi looked. He stood for something that this Fashtunken of Balabos couldn't talk to him. So he made latzonos because it touched some nerve in him that he couldn't deal with. So how do you get rid of that nerve? You make latzonos. Then Eliyahu HaNavi turned around and says to him, the Baruch Shalom gave you seichel for that. There'll come a day when we are all going to be miyad hu boicha. Rebellion wasn't boicha. Rebellion was boicha over Torah. Rebellion was boicha over davening. Therefore, when he went in 96, his movie upstairs was the same as who he was. For what? For a decision of 9 years old. He could have turned around to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and said, I had peer pressure. Peer pressure. Peer pressure. My parents and my brothers and my sisters are all going to America. Peer pressure. I look stupid. I'm left alone as an Oni Ve'evian. No money. My father's not going to support me if I sit and learn. If I become a frumer, my mishpacha won't accept me. All those excuses that we can think of, over a million different excuses. Peer pressure. She wants me. She decided how I'm going to run my life. She's going to answer for me in Yenneveld. Moshe Rabbeinu, Mr. Nisoyin. Oh, he didn't chap. If the Rebbeinu Shlom gave you the koyach, has told you that you can run Klal Yisrael, then you can do it on your own. Don't complain you have no koyach, because you do have the koyach. Haraya, your koyachas are going to be given out to 70. That's how much koyach you have. There's no such thing as I can't. There is such a thing as lav bar hochi, ein rogil. He's not used to learning. That's why he's not Talmud Chacham. But there's no such thing as I can't, I don't want to. I don't want to, no problem. But there will come a time where you will turn around and say, V'amati lo b'zeh nosnu. Miyad heirim koilu uboyucha umis'anech. He was crying, meirim koiloi. There will become a time in life where every one of us are going to go through this story. Some earlier, some later. And we're all going to look back and say, for the fashtunkene decision, my gaiva, my peer pressure, my olam hazeh dika anoz. If I become a ben Torah, how am I going to have my $500 belt? It's not happening. These are the decisions that you're going to decide your whole olam haruchni, when every one of us could be a rebellion. The Rambam paskins that everybody can't be a Talmud Chacham like Moshe Rabbeinu, but tzaddik ke Moshe Rabbeinu, everybody can. How many people do you know who we can write on their matseva? Poi nitman ha-goyin ha-tzadik. Here lies somebody who could have been a goyin ha-tzadik when they're alive as well. Poi nitman, here lies somebody who could be a goyin ha-tzadik, a kodesh. And it's not even the Yetzer Hara. I can't be bothered. Ain't a rogel. I just can't be bothered. What are you going to come upstairs and say to the Rebbeinu Shlom? You have to understand, I was 17, I was very immature. You know, wasn't for me. I was very immature and I had a terrible attitude and my father used to beat me up and my father this and my mother this and who knows what. Okay. Therefore, But you made it in life. You have a good panosa. You have 3 Porsches outside your house. You have what to show for yourself. That seichel, that guts, youthful learning. Three more nights is a Yom HaDin. 3 more nights. Avada, we're going to walk in and we give up before we start because where we're starting from. We feel so low that we don't even have a foot to stand on. That's the attitude that we walk around till the night of Rosh Hashanah. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah, you get Be'evis Hayrus, so it lasts through the Maariv until you start with the Simonim, thinking that if I do the Simonim right, and I say the right Yirots, and then I'm Zicha Muftach, that this year is going to be a great year. If I eat the herring on the left hand side with the right hand, I say Yirbuk Adogim, then I'm Zicha going to make it through the year. And if I finish Tehillim 3 times, L'chomra, on Rosh Hashanah, then for sure, I'm not trying to be mevatelit. But there's a much bigger picture when it comes to the din of Rosh Hashanah. Much bigger picture. Much bigger picture. Rosh Hashanah is a time where we coronate the king. It's a coronation. We now decide that Ribbono Shel'Olam is Melech. Decide? He became Melech, he is Melech. We have no Breira, he is our Melech. When the king comes into town, everybody freezes. Everybody freezes. Nothing goes on. Everybody freezes and is focused on one thing, making sure that the visit should be Matzliach. We have a visitor in town. Some of us feel it, some of us know about it, some of us don't know about it and don't feel it. But he's coming. He's on the way. He's a few miles away from the town. And he's coming into town. And we haven't fixed the lights on the street. We haven't cleaned up the house yet. He's taking a walk through the main street. The main streets look filthy still. Full of cigarette butts. We haven't done anything about it. And the king is coming in. What would be the king's reaction if he walked into a filthy town? What would be the reaction if we weren't kuloi focused that he's coming in? In fact, when we don't know what a king means because we don't know what it means. But the worst story is when a person once met the Tsar of Russia, he became mute for the rest of his life from pachad when he stood in front of the Tsar. There are stories of that. The musag of melucha we don't have today. Or even presidency today already. You know, Menem Tashvatz and Menachter Zeis president. So there's bechlal no such thing as covered. But Amalek at Zeitzen, Amol used to be a melech. A king came, a tsar came into a town. Everybody froze. Froze means that nothing else, there's no machshovas of anything else. Nobody is busy. When the king is walking through town, nobody's busy making out anywhere. Everything goes frozen. Yetzaharas, yetzatoivs, anything. There's one machshava. Make sure that everything goes smoothly, his visit, that nothing, no hitch-ups. The king is coming into town. We have a problem. We have a filthy road out there. We haven't even started cleaning it up. How are we going to do it? There's one little eitzah. Let's try and be focused. Let's freeze everything for 1 minute. Make a 5 minute cheshbon ha-nefesh of what Eliyahu HaNavi said to this guy. Let's make a cheshbon ha-nefesh on my decisions for life, where I'm going, what I want to do. Let's make a cheshbon ha-nefesh for 3 minutes. When a melech comes into town, everything freezes. All my yetzaharas go out of town. Beis Halevi once asked the shaila. So maybe they could Beis Halevi. Beis Halevi once asked the shaila. How does Shaykh not to be able to sachmait? I see a guy walking around with a beautiful suit. Leisachmet, yoyve leisachmet, ha yoyve leisachmet. How can you not be over leisachmet? It's something that I want. I mean, it's a regesh. How can the Torah write leisachmet? You shouldn't want. So Bessel Levi says, I'm ready to come off. Bessel Levi says, you got a frozen river. A guy's crossing the river. He's crossing the river because there's a beautiful girl on the other side, and he wants to get there. And suddenly, as he gets into the middle of the lake, suddenly the ice started a bit cracking halfway. What happens to him then? There's a one machshava in his mind. One machshava. How do I save myself? There's no girl. There's nothing. There's nothing else in the world except one thing. How do I get out of this freezing water and save myself? He says, that's how we've got to go to the mitzvah leisachmet. When I'm focused on what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants for us, then there's no leisachmet. That's to explain the mitzvah. We're not holding there yet. But when the melech comes into town, we have to start cleaning the streets a bit. We have to start training ourselves a shtickle of some serious machshava of when I stand in front of the melech on Rosh Hashanah, whether you like it or you don't like it, whether you're going to be in bed or in the Beis HaMedrash, you are going to be standing for 48 hours in the court of judgment. That's why we don't smoke on Rosh Hashanah. That's why we only say Tehillim on Rosh Hashanah. That's why we go to the mikveh before Rosh Hashanah. We've got to walk into court looking like $1 million. Now, some people take a shower for $1 million. Some people go to a mikveh because they want to look kaddish with toy. And that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's called $1 million by the Ribbono Shel Olam. And we walk into Rosh Hashanah, whether you like it or not, whether you're in the Beis HaMedrash dining room, or you're in the valley thinking that nobody knows that you're having a cigarette on Rosh Hashanah, you are in a court of judgment. And when the king is going through that court of judgment, there's got to be one focus. We all freeze. Freeze means one thing. What does the king want from me? And what the king wants from me means, what koyches do I have? When the Ribbono Shel Olam told Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to lead Klal Yisrael, it means that you have the koyches to do it all the way with all the problems that entails. Don't come to me late and say, I can't. Because if you can't, you can. That's our biggest nisoyin in life. That if the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us koyches, we can do it. And all we have to do is make a cheshbon and nefesh. Where was I matzliach? Where do I want to go? How focused am I on what I want to get achieve in life? What's choshev to me in life? And then stop for 5 minutes and make a cheshbon and nefesh. What's it going to look like if the king comes into town and says to me, what are you holding? What are you going to show for yourself? You said you can't? I'll prove it to you. For 2 months you did it. You had a job. I'll prove it to you throughout your life. Whatever you decided to do, whatever was choshev to you, you made it. There's no stumbling blocks. Nothing got in your way. Ah, you can do it. So what happened over here? La bar hochi. Couldn't be bothered. Didn't turn me on. Okay, that's all I wanted to know. That's all he wants to know. Well, who are we? Say that your movie upstairs will be different than the movie that you are. Have a happy life. That's our shiloh over here. Our shiloh over here is we're making decisions not only for ourselves. We make decisions today. As kids of 17, 18, we make decisions on how we're going to mess up our lives. Who we're going to marry if we stayed married all the time. Who are going to be our children? Who are going to be our talmidim? How much hashpah are you going to have to be mamlech to Ribbono Shel Olam in his world? How much koichas do you have that be'etzim, you have tremendous koichas that through you should become his galus kvod shemayim? Generations, third, fourth, fifth generations, all this chusay. And over some idiocy of some gashmias or peer pressure or immaturity, I just throw it away. And it'll take you 20 years to clean up the mess, 30 years to clean up the mess, and then it'll be too late. Akasha avadati or avadati. That's all he wants from us, this world. Malchus means freeze for 5 minutes. Freeze for 5 minutes and look at yourself in the mirror with emes. When you look with emes, miyad uboicha. Umis'anach. And he starts wailing and he starts sighing. Why? Because emes hit him in the face. When emes hits you in the face, you have no answer. What is it? Let's not be too late. Let this emes not hit you in the face when you're 40, 50, and way, way past of no return. Chaparai now, you're still young. There's tremendous koichas. Like Rabbi Yerucham said again, chazed this over 50 times. It's an avera not to know your chisroinus. It's a big avera not to know your milas. Know who you are. Bonim atem l'Hashem elekeichem. You're still bonim to the Ribbono shel Olam. Bonim Hashem l'Hashem elekeichem means you have godly powers. We control. We have godly powers. We can. Why are Jews always at the top? Why are Jews, wherever they went in Golos, within a few years, they were running the governments, they were head of the treasuries, they owned most of the properties, in every business, wherever you go through Europe. Starting from the Spanish Inquisition, where Jews owned Spain, they lived a lot nicer than they live today. Lawrence was nothing on what they lived in Spain. Take a look in the history books of how people lived in Spain. Everyone had 5 dunam. They lived like kings. They didn't. Go through the Spanish, where the Spain, and then all the way through history, wherever Jews were, they was at the top. Why? Because Jews have godly powers. And when it's not directed in the right way, when it's directed to Gashmias, they'll make it to the top. Of course they'll make it to the top. Because that's the godly powers that we have. They'll become the richest people in the world. How much percent in America of Jews are there? 0.25%? 0.5%? And look, we control America. There's no secret about it. We control America. It could be left, it could be right, it doesn't make a difference. We control the White House, we control the Senate, we control everything. And how much of a percent in the world are we? And yet every day in any paper in the world, they're all talking about Israel. Can you explain, Pshat? Does it make sense? The smallest country come out in the world. How many people live here already? And there's come out never a day where any paper in the world is talking about Yidden. Because we have godly powers. Ribbono shel Olam made us Am HaNivcha, the chosen nation. We have godly powers. And those godly powers, when they're directed in the right way, you can make it to become a Moshe Rabbeinu, you can become a rebellion. And when it's directed in the wrong way, you become the big millionaire. Nochanaman, you might give a lot of stock to causes. And you might even think to yourself, I'm going to be the one that's going to take care of the Venezuelan's world giving out stockers. Of course, I have to get honored in every dinner. And I have to make sure that I am the one that speaks in every convention. Which basically takes away your whole Olam Haba because you just got paid off with your covered. But that's not for now. But no problem. Ribbono Shel Olam says, that's what you want? Okay, no problem. I'll give it to you. You can have your nice houses, you can have 3 houses, you can have 5 houses in every country, and in every, who knows what. You can have everything you want. But that will be your Olam Haba, because that's what your Chot Machshiv. You'll have your nice cars, and you'll get a good deal on the lease. No problem. That's your Olam Haba. We'll come upstairs empty. What happened to my resume of stockers? What happened to my resume of chillers? What happened to... One minute. That's not where you were supposed to be. You were down there for 70, 80 years. You wanted to go a certain way. You made a decision when you were a bocha that you're going down that road. You thought you could buy me off with your mitzvahs. It didn't work. That wasn't your tashlis. I gave you godly powers. You should be out there being the galak vay chamayim. You could have been the Volz Rosh Yeshiva. The Ponim Yisrov used to say, every time he walked into a Gevir's house, that Klal Yisrael lost another godel. He said, if the Gevir would take all his potential and put it into Torah, it'd be from the Gedolei Yisrael. When the Melech comes into town, we freeze. Because the Melech means we've got to be Megaleh Kveid Shemayim. And the Rebbeinu Shlomo will make a judgment. How much Kveid Shemayim do I care about? If it goes till the dollar, that's what you'll get, the dollar. If it means more, you'll get more. But Miyadu Boicha, that is the minute of truth. Everybody will go through life where 1 minute of truth will hit them in the face. And when that minute of truth hits them in their face, they're going to turn around and say, oh, what a mistake. I shouldn't have gone to America when I was 9 years old. Tippish. 9 years old, I'm supposed to not go to America? Yeah, so when we're 17, 18, I shouldn't have given in to peer pressure. I shouldn't have given in to the pressure that I have, that I've got to, Tachlis, what's going to be? I've got to make panosa. I've got to worry about the future. Who said you're going to make it through the future? The belly used to say, Bocha came to the belly and said to the belly once that I want to go back to America. He says, Tavos. He said, I have to go and take care of Panosa. He says, Panosa for Vemen. For who? He says, Mitz Hashem, I'm going to get married and have kids. Who says you're going to get married? Rebbe, don't. Where shall I tell them? Okay. Vezok is talking kinder. Who said you're going to have kids? Rebbe, don't give me a klola. Where shall I tell them? Uh-huh. So you need to go back to America in order, because by you, the Rebbeinu Shlomo is going to help you get married, have kids, but he's not going to help you make panosa. Das nicht. Only you can do it. Shakra. Bluffer. Because you want to do it. Not because you don't believe that. Everything else the Rebbeinu Shlomo will help. He can help you get married. Rebbeinu Shlomo will help him. Kids. Rebbeinu Shlomo will help him. Who said you're going to make it through the next year? Why should I tell for me? Why should I take me away? What do you mean? I'm a good guy. Only the good ones go, right? I'm not really. I'm a bum on the street. Why is he not going to touch me? He's Bichlal not interested in me. So I'm going to make it through the year. I'll see Rebbeinu Shlomo help him. No dos nicht. That not. Rabbeisai, it's not a joke anymore. 3 days before Yom Adin, you're allowed to get serious. You're allowed to turn around and for 5 minutes think of Malchius. Malchius means freeze. Freeze, and when the emes hit you in the face, make a decision that we should be Zeicha. That the movie and the way we act are the same will be Zeicha Tekstiv Vechsim HaTevet.